What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, it's been a while since we've talked to you guys, and a lot has happened since then because the Chargers have had a major injury. Stop me when you've heard that before. I mean, it just seems like it's clockwork, guys. But since we last talked, we found out that Derwin James has a stress fracture in his foot and is going to be out indefinitely. We don't know the timeline, but we will talk about what we heard in the first segment, and we'll just have to break that down and just tell everyone what this significant injury means for the Chargers defense, who with Derwin James was looking at being maybe the top defense in the league and now is scrambling to find a replacement for an irreplaceable player. We also have Keenan Allen injuring his ankle and being done for the preseason, and talk about if we're worried about that. We'll start with that in the news segment. And then in the second segment, we're going to do a recap of today's game against the Saints. And then to end the show, we're going to talk about the things that surprised us from this game. On tomorrow's show, we'll be getting into who impressed us and who didn't impress us. But today, we're just going with a recap of the game. And then we'll talk about some surprises that we saw, because there was a lot of surprises, guys. Some different guys stood out. Some different guys didn't come to the plate ready to go. But let's go ahead and start with the biggest news of today, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. Derwin James fractured his foot in the joint practice against the Saints this week. And now, John, it looks like he's going to be out for about 3 months. From what we've heard so far, he's getting surgery this weekend. Most people say it's the fifth metatarsal. So that's a really bad spot to have it happen. And now we have 3 to 4 months potentially for his recovery, John. And Anthony Lynn hasn't ruled out losing him for the entire season. So what were you thinking about this injury when it happened, and how are you feeling about it now?
Well, when I first heard about it, I felt like we lost the Phillip Rivers of our defense. I feel like that's the one guy that you could not lose on your defense. Everybody else, I feel like you might have had a way to get around it, but I don't think there's any way to get around it. Derwin James was a big difference in our defense between 2017 to 2018. And this year, we expect him to be even more than what he was last year. And with him missing at least to around week 9, week 10, there's a lot of questions now for this defense. Who's going to step up in that safety spot? And if that safety spot's not fixed, who are we going to be able to handle deep passes or speedy guys like Tyreek Hill? Like, there's so many questions I have right now. I'm really worried.
And you have every right to be worried. And for a lot of Charger fans, this was a hard game to watch just because everyone was still mourning the loss of Derwin James. I know that sounds severe, but everyone knows how much Derwin James brings to the table. I mean, he's the only Chargers rookie to ever be named first team All-Pro. So they're telling you he's basically the best strong safety or one of the best two safeties in the entire NFL as a rookie. And you lose that guy for, you know, maybe 10 weeks, maybe until the bye week, which, you know, you hope to still have him back. But with a player of his caliber, you cannot try to rush him back too soon. So I think the Chargers are going to be very, very careful with this. He was the only rookie safety to have 100-plus tackles, multiple sacks, and multiple interceptions last year. He just affects the game at all three levels, David. And that kind of production is going to be impossible to replace. I wish I could sit here and tell you guys that this is the backup plan. These are the guys that are going to fill in with Derwin James and replace that production. But unfortunately, David, for this team, in Gus Bradley's system, in that Cam Chancellor type of role, playing at all three levels of the defense, I just don't know if there's any possible way the Chargers can replace that kind of production.
I mean, definitely not by one player. It's going to have to be two or three guys that are going to have to come up and try to come and replace that all-pro production that Derwin James gave you. I mean, by all accounts, he was having a strong camp. He was definitely, you know, already a leader, one of the more prominent leaders on that defense. So it's such a crushing blow to see him get injured and potentially, you know, miss out on this season. I mean, one thing I want to be very clear about is nobody has a timeline. So none of us are going to speculate or, you know, pretend that we know how long he's going to be out for, because we don't. You know, we'll know more information as that information comes out, and we'll make sure and relay that to you. But, you know, hey, Derwin James is a freak of nature, an amazing athlete. He's young, so he has all those things on his side. Hopefully we do get DJ back healthy, and hopefully the Chargers are still in a good position when he does return. But Daniel, it's going to be a committee approach, because you can't replace all that value with just one guy.
And I can't blame Chargers fans for feeling snake bitten. It just seems like something happens every single season. This year, you know, you're losing Derwin James, you know, potentially for a few months to the entire year. Last year, you had Joey Bosa miss 10 weeks of the season and had Hunter Henry miss the entire season. We've already gone through what's happened with guys like Jason Verrett and Keenan Allen early in his career. It just seems to be one thing after another. So I understand why Charger fans are kind of like, why us right now? But John, this is a very precarious situation the Chargers find themselves in, just because we have the issue with Russell Okung at left tackle. We have Melvin Gordon in a holdout situation. We have Keenan Allen, who they're probably just taking super precaution with, but he is also dealing with something. And now you have Derwin James on this list as the guy who's probably going to miss the most time of any of those people, any of those players. I mean, the Chargers are really dealing with it this year, and this is why we don't like to make predictions on records, you know, 2 months away from the season, just because right now the complexion of this Chargers team without Derwin James, with how important we think Derwin James is to that defense, is entirely different than we might have felt a month ago.
About a month ago, we were probably saying top three defense easily, and a lot of articles were saying number one ranked defense, but you take away Derwin, we drop out of the top five probably easily in my mind, and I'm sure a lot of sports writers will say the same thing. But I think this whole situation right now, if you look at it, Keenan Allen, as you just mentioned, is probably just being held out for precautionary reasons, even though he does have an injury. He'll probably play week one. Some people say he might miss week one, but I think it's more just precautionary, because when I was at practice, he was walking around just fine, no limping, nothing. But Melvin Gordon has three running backs taking his spot right now. If he doesn't play, I feel like we have that role taken care of. Russell Okung is probably someone that we need to worry about as far as the offensive line, because it sucks, but he'll eventually be back. Derwin James right now is one situation we don't have covered up. So I think it brings the question, do we bring in another guy like an Eric Berry?
Yeah, it's hard to say on Eric Berry. You wonder if the Chargers will kick the tires on him, just because it seems like he's been pretty radioactive since he entered free agency, missing so much time over the last few seasons. It doesn't seem like anyone wants to get anywhere near Eric Berry right now. As a short-term replacement, I could see it being something you would look into, obviously. But I think one thing's for sure, Nazir Adderley missing this time right now, it's become that much more important. I mean, it would feel a lot better if you had Nazir Adderley in camp right now, thriving and hoping that you can replace some of that production with a mix of Rayshon Jenkins and Adrian Phillips, because Adrian Phillips is the guy right now that's slotted in Derwin James's spot. And let's be honest, guys, Adrian Phillips is a hell of a player, and we are extremely fortunate that they assigned him in the offseason to bring him back. But you're not going to be able to get Derwin James out of that. I mean, the way the guy reads passes, the way the guy breaks on the football and can tackle in open space, which is something the Chargers have struggled with for so long, you're just not going to get that anywhere else. And it does feel a little bit better to have much upgraded linebackers, or at least some depth at the position with some more athletic guys that can move around. Kazir White's a guy we'll talk about later. Drew Tranquil is a guy that's probably going to get some snaps because of this, just because you need more athletic linebackers if you're trying to fill in for that void that's left at safety. But
you're going to have to move guys around probably. You probably, like, Rayshon might have to take the Adrian Phillips role as the dime linebacker. Phillips will take Derwin James's role. Then you got to hope Nazir Adderley's healthy and takes over that Rayshon Jenkins' role. And I mean, that's just a lot of moving around and stuff. I mean, that's probably something you might have to do.
Or even Rayshon Jenkins at strong safety where he started.
Even though he said he doesn't really feel comfortable there, though. So that's why I was kind of hesitant putting him there, and more putting him in the Adrian Phillips area, you know, that dime linebacker position. I think he could excel there, and maybe Adrian Phillips and Nazir Adderley would be the safeties.
Speaking of Nazir Adderley, there were actually reports before the game that he was working out on the field, and they said that he was moving around quite well. So maybe that means, you know, hopefully, reading in between the lines here, that Nazir Adderley will, you know, actually get to practice, you know, come, you know, this upcoming week. I mean, hopefully him working out, running around, looking good, means that he's going to be able to practice and get into the games, because he's missed so much time, guys. And, you know, he needs to get all the reps that he can going into this season, especially with the Derwin James injury.
Yeah, all things to consider going forward, and this will not be the last time that we talk about it, but that is at least our instant reaction on it right now. But we do need to get into the game that happened today, because there is a lot to talk about in this game. A lot of things that surprised us. Cardale Jones, we have to eat some crow on that, at least for one day. But first, I need to tell you guys about our friends over at BlueChew.com. You know who it is, guys. BlueChew.com, that's blue, like the color blue. It's the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness, guys. And right now, we have a special deal for our listeners, because you can try Blue Chew for free when you go to BlueChew.com. All you have to do is use the special promo code LOCKEDON, and you just have to pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. You got to try it, guys, because Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys. Well, I know we're all still kind of moping around about the Derwin James injury, but we did have football today, and there was a lot of guys that stood out and just a lot to talk about from this game, maybe even more than the first game. A lot of different people kind of showed up in today's game, but let's get started. The Chargers got the ball right away and stalled out very quickly. The Chargers went for it on 4th-and-1. Justin Jackson got the ball. The offensive line, not very much push at all, and the Chargers turned it over on downs before getting the ball back with a fumble on the next drive by the Saints. And the Chargers got the ball back again. Tyrod Taylor, still nothing really. The first three series, John, for the Chargers went turnover on downs, punt, interception, and then after that, even another punt. So what do you think was different in today's game? Tyrod Taylor definitely didn't get off to the start we had seen him in the first game.
I think it's more of the Saints had a better swarming defensive line compared to the Cardinals. I think that had a big role to play in it. From watching them in practice to watching them on the field, it was pretty consistent. The Saints were able to rush in really easily. They were destroying Sam Tevi. Tyrod didn't really have much of a chance to throw the ball. He was running for his life lots of times, even having to change directions in the pocket just to get out of the pocket. So I think that's got to be the major thing, was the Saints' defensive line was a lot better than the Cardinals' defensive line. So you didn't get to see much movement from Tyrod's offense.
Yeah, not really. He tried to keep it going with his legs at times, but there was penalties that brought them back. There was dumb plays. And worst of all, just this offensive line didn't look good from the get-go. I thought the Forrest Lamp actually looked really good, but Sam Tevi continued to struggle. Trent Scott continued to struggle. And this wasn't the Saints, you know, A-plus defensive line. There was some backups in there as well. And Tyrod Taylor never seemed to get comfortable in this game. Neither did Austin Ekeler in the beginning. They ended up taking him out pretty quickly. Justin Jackson was a little bit more comfortable, had a little bit more room to run, and was really, honestly, making a lot out of nothing, David. There is more to this game that we need to talk about, because Tyrod Taylor had a pass intercepted on a batted ball. But, David, at least in the beginning of the game, the defense really stood out to me. Kazir White was all over the field, and the defensive line was getting in there on Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater did not have a good game against this Chargers defense. And I think it started up front, but it was also the secondary coming in as well. I thought the first team defense, even though, you know, Thomas Davis, Joey Bosa, and Melvin Ingram weren't out there, I thought these guys in here came to play today. Justin Jones with another strong showing as well. But I was impressed early in the game with the Chargers' frontline defense.
Yeah, no, I mean, you saw guys make plays. And, I mean, one guy I want to highlight is Jalen Watkins, a guy who missed all of last year, you know, coming off an injury. And he got a pick, you know, in this game. You know, one of those guys that we expect to try to step up to take the place for Derwin James made a play in this game that makes you think, all right, that's the reason why the Chargers brought him in, because, you know, he's able to, you know, he's a good player in the back end of the defense. So, you know, need to see more plays like that. Kaiser White flying all over the football field. Loved his contributions. But, yeah, no, I love the fact that, you know, they still stayed staunch in the red zone. The red zone defense was strong. They didn't let him score. Those are all great things that you want to see them carry over into the next preseason games and, of course, into the season.
Well, I want to talk about something with those two interceptions real quick. So Tyrod's interception was batted by a Saints player that ended up falling into another Saints player. If it wasn't for that batting, Mike Williams was open and probably would have ran for another 15, 20 yards. So I don't want to put that too much on Tyrod. I could say he probably should have thrown the ball a little bit higher over the line, but he didn't make a bad throw. It was a good play by the D-line. And then Jalen Watkins' interception, I don't want to call that a great play by him. It's just more of being in the right spot at the right time, because that ball went straight through a Saints wide receiver's hands and into Jalen Watkins' hands. If that Saints player catches it, he's probably doing the same thing Mike Williams would have done. So I don't think those are more great plays by the guys that made the picks rather than a self-inflicted wound by the Saints that gave us a pick and the Saints defensive line making a great play.
Yeah, on that specific case it was, but I definitely was impressed by the guys in the beginning of the game. And then two things for the Chargers, pretty electric, happened back-to-back soon after that, because Cardale Jones came in and proceeded to absolutely slice up the Saints defense. And a lot of guys were showing up. You had Jeremy Davis showing up early in this game. You had Artavis Scott showing up in this game. And then you had Andre Patton, who at the end of the first drive of Cardale Jones actually catches a 24-yard touchdown pass from Cardale, a beautiful throw with pressure in his face. And if that wasn't surprising enough, a couple of Saints drives later, the Saints are punting, and then Troy Maine Pope actually takes the punt back for a touchdown. Had three guys with a beeline right at him. Ended up making one little move, hitting the crease, and taking it back to the house. So even though this game was boring for long stretches, in a couple of series, the Chargers really lit up the Saints and had a lot of explosive plays coming from players you might not think of in Cardale Jones and Troy Maine Pope.
I'm not going to lie, during the game, I was getting mad. I was like, why are we not calling timeout? I get it's preseason, but we need to practice our two-minute offense. Why are we not calling timeout? And then in my head, I went, I'd laugh if we got a punt return for a touchdown right now. And then Anthony Lincoln go, that's why I didn't call timeout. And then it happened. I couldn't believe he got through all those guys, though. I thought for sure he was swarmed. And that one little move that got him through that crease was just amazing. I'm starting to wonder if he might be in the running for next punt returner if he makes the roster, or so that Desmond King could take less hits. But when we talk about Cardale Jones doing better, he did a lot better. He had like a 118.5 passer rating today and over 100 yards passing, but he made a stupid play too. He couldn't find anybody open while we were in the red zone, and he threw it out the back of the end zone to nobody while in the pocket. Like, come on, man, you were doing so good, and then you pull that and make me go, okay, maybe I spoke too soon about you being a lot better this game. And I think that cost us a chance at another touchdown, honestly. But besides that, that throw to Andre Patton was absolutely beautiful, and he had pressure in his face and still made that beautiful throw. It kind of makes me worry that Anthony Lynn's going to want to keep him now.
Right, honestly, that's probably the scariest part of the whole thing is just, did he do enough to keep Anthony Lynn and these other coaches and front office people on his side, because he was really impressive today. And then, guys, in the second half, there was not a lot of good things to talk about for the Chargers, but there was one big highlight, because Jerry Tillery got on the field with the second or third team unit in some levels and made his presence known right away with a sack, had a run stop as well, was getting penetration. And another big play that happened in the fourth quarter for the Chargers was Denzel Perryman absolutely breaking a Saints running back in half as he was slipping to the ground, causing a fumble inside of the 5-yard line and getting the ball back for the Chargers. Because besides that, the rest of the second half was a pretty poor showing. the Chargers, basically third and fourth string offensive linemen came in, and we know what their starters are like. So as you could probably tell, that didn't go very well. A lot of penalties, very sloppy. But we did get to see a couple of big plays from some players that we want to see a lot from in the end of this game. But Taysom Hill absolutely sliced the Chargers up. Those second and third string DBs, the third and fourth string DBs, Adarius Pickett, some of those other guys on the bottom ends of this roster did not have great games. And it just wasn't a great game to watch in the second half. But I think Easton Stick Mania is going to calm down a little bit. But, guys, that score ends up being 19-17. We obviously don't worry about that. But we were hoping to see some more guys flash in the second half. We didn't see a single point scored, so that was upsetting. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about the guys that surprised us most, or the biggest surprises that we saw in this game, coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the show today, talking about this Chargers-Saints preseason game number two. So there's a lot of things that were surprising in this game, some good, some bad, but let's go ahead and get into our biggest surprises in this game. There's a lot to talk about. David, I'll start with you. There was a lot of guys that showed up and some big plays that were made, but what was the biggest surprise to you in this game?
Well, for how much we have destroyed this young man over the last several years, I think it's only right that we acknowledge that Cardale Jones had a phenomenal game. I know we talked about it earlier, but that obviously was very surprising to all of us, not just myself, but I was very, very surprised. He made several great throws today. It didn't seem like he was making those, you know, I don't know where I'm at bonehead type of plays in this one. He stayed calm and collected and made several great throws. And, you know, John mentioned the touchdown throw to Andre Patton. Both those guys surprised me today, but I have to give credit where credit is due. And Cardale Jones looked phenomenal out there. So hopefully he takes that, harnesses that and uses it going forward, because he needs it and he needs a prayer. But hey, do we really want that? That doesn't matter. That's up for him to decide.
Yeah, we definitely want to think that the Chargers front office is not going to make decisions based on one game, but it was a really impressive game, especially by Cardale Jones standards. And he was the best quarterback the Chargers had today, which is saying a lot, because last week he was the fourth best quarterback on the field for the Chargers, and Phillip Rivers wasn't even in his uniform. So that was really big for Cardale Jones today. I think that he deserved to, you know, get a more extended look in the rest of this preseason, but I think we'd have to see two more games like that for me to say for sure that I think he's going to keep his spot. I mean, they used a fifth round pick on Easton Stick. They're probably really not going to carry more than three quarterbacks, so even three is a stretch at some point. But I think they'll keep Easton Stick around, even though he wasn't helped out by the rest of his team on either side of the ball today in the second half of this game because it was so sloppy. But I think another surprise, John, was the fact that Denzel Perryman was playing in the fourth quarter and was even in there to make that giant play that he had near the goal line, cracking the Saints running back, forcing that fumble. I was surprised that he was even in the game at all.
Yeah, I was surprised, too, that they made him one of the fourth and third stringers for the game, but I listened to Anthony Lynn's comments about it, and he said that Denzel hasn't really been himself. I think the word he used was he's been rusty, and so he's trying to get him back to his normal self by giving him some reps against the lesser-known guys to help get him back up to speed. So after hearing that, it makes a little bit more sense, and it keeps him from getting as many reps as guys like Kazir White had, that Uchenna Nwosu had. I mean, those guys were in the game for three quarters, and they shouldn't be, because they're going to be getting most of the snaps in the regular season. I mean, so the fact that Perryman played with the four stringers, not much of a worry to me, because less snaps for him, so less chance to get hurt. But I think something that was surprising me was Artavis Scott and Andre Patton actually showed up in this game and were catching passes. We haven't seen Scott really perform lately, and he made some pretty good plays, and Patton actually showed up and even got a long touchdown run and a really good catch that was thrown by Cardale Jones somehow, but it was a really good diving catch that got us a first down.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say that as part of the things that surprised me in this game, too, was just the fact that pretty much everybody involved, at least with that after Travis Benjamin wide receiver spot, showed up. I mean, Jeremy Davis kept the chains moving, 2 catches for 21 yards. You said Andre Patton and Artavis Scott both had 4 catches, both had over 62 yards. Patton had 62, Scott had 64. I mean, both of those guys showed up. All three of those guys showed up. At least we have an answer to, hey, are these guys going to show up and go really fight for that job? And that's really nice to see because we didn't really see that from the tight end. Sean Colkin had one pretty good catch that was contested, and he got a first down. I thought that was a nice play, but no one really separating themselves there. At least, I mean, the other tight ends didn't do anything. So I guess Sean Colkin has that going for him. But, David, I think the other surprise in this game was just Jerry Tillery hitting the ground running and coming in there and looking dominant at times in his first game. I know it's backups, but I mean, you couldn't help but get excited watching Jerry Tillery out there throwing offensive guards around like it was not his first game. That was super surprising to me.
Super surprising and super impressive, Daniel. I was waiting to watch Jerry Tillery the entire offseason, so to see him get into game action and make an immediate impact, providing interior pressure from that middle, you know, that tackle spot is just phenomenal. It just makes you salivate over the possibilities of him creating pressure in the middle. And you saw it, you know, manifest itself in the game. And then you pair Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Chinonu Osu, and whoever else they want to throw at the quarterback all at the same time. It's been a long time since the Chargers I've had somebody who can create constant interior pressure. And it seems like, obviously I don't want to make it more than it is, but it seems like Jerry Tillery is the guy that's going to be able to do that for the Chargers. And I think it's going to make a world of difference.
And John, really quickly, your first impressions of the first round pick, Jerry Tillery?
He was surprisingly doing well after coming off of surgery and not having much practice time. He was a force out there. I mean, he wasn't doing it against the top offensive line, so I think that makes a big difference in how you look at this. But the fact that he was still in his first game pushing people over and getting through the line gives me some hope in him. I'm really hoping to see him against some first-string offensive linemen, maybe against the Seahawks or something, so we can get a better look at it. But at least he's not having to pull a Denzel Perryman and play against four stringers because he's not up to speed yet or something.
Well, and I think they definitely pulled Tillery out as soon as they saw what they needed to see. He did not play very long after he got in the game. And when he was out there, I mean, he was just very impressive. He showed the flashes of hand movements and techniques of getting off blocks that you saw in college, even a little bit more. It even looked a little bit more refined than I had seen from him. Oh. Actually using secondary moves to get guys off of him and still get pressure in the quarterback's face, besides the time where he almost ripped Taysom Hill's head off.
He used a really good move to get that sack that he had. He literally pushed that Saints offensive lineman's hand away from him and went straight through him to get that sack. That was a picture perfect technique. And if he needs to teach that some of these other defensive linemen that we have.
It was the fastest I've seen a Chargers defensive lineman get past an offensive lineman in a good amount of time. I was also surprised that Justin Jones continued to play extremely well. Just to throw that in as a side note, he just looks like a completely different player this year. He looks an entirely different shape. He looks way faster. He had a couple of good moves getting past offensive linemen today and getting some pressure. So a lot to talk about, and we will get into this game more on tomorrow's show because we didn't talk about the guys who didn't impress us and the guys that impressed us the most, even though we got to talk about a few. But we'll be back with you guys then. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, where we post all of the shows. And you can also get them by subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts from. TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Spotify. The shows will always be on there and you'll get them before everyone else does. But we have a long week of shows, guys. So if you guys want to get in on the Locked On Chargers podcast, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924. Every voicemail that we get gets played on the show, so get your guys' voice on the show as soon as a couple days from now. We'll see when we get into a voicemail show, but we want to definitely do it soon. But hey, we'll be back with you guys tomorrow with a brand new show. Make sure to subscribe to get it first. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.